How you doing, family? In all things, we should start off in prayer, so let's pray. Father God, thank you for this opportunity, for giving your word and bringing glory to you, Father. I pray that all that hear my voice take heed, understand, and are willing to accept the truth. And the truth is that you love us, that you care, and that you are God. In Yeshua's name I pray. Amen. All right. I first want to get started on our discussion with we're in a war. If you look at your newspapers, you see on the internet, you see in your own families, you see people warring with themselves, warring with God. We're in a war, people. With that, how do we deal with it? Well, the word says, trust in him. Fight the good fight. And he'll make your enemies your footstool. In warfare, we're all soldiers. Anybody who knows me knows I was a soldier many years ago in the Army. Soldiers, they take orders. They take orders. They do their job. Whatever is asked of them, they do. I was asked many times as a soldier to do things that made no sense to me. But it's okay, because we have superiors whose job is to oversee what we do. And they're accountable. And it goes all the way up the line. Now, as a U.S. soldier, there were rules then. The rules changed. They accept some lifestyles now that they didn't at one point. But the wonderful thing about being a soldier for God, he ain't changed. He's the same God. He's been doing the same thing since before time began. I think somebody sang that today, right? So we could trust him. We could trust in being a soldier for him, that our orders are going to be just, that everything that we do is for his glory. So soldiers of Yah. We all have different jobs, different callings. We do different things. Some of us are secretaries. Others of us are sailors. Some work on software, teach nursing, provide education. But as soldiers, we still have one job. That one job is to take orders and to support whatever our army is doing. Our army is about saving souls. That's what God wants to do. He's come here to reconcile everything that we've messed up. And he's implored you as soldiers to do the same. Some by song. Others by speaking, others by teaching, others by healing, placing hands. Our job is to take orders and to go out there and do it, to do whatever he asks. And what does he ask? He asks us to follow his word if we love him. I love the Lord. Do you love the Lord? I'm sorry. I love the Lord. Do you love the Lord? All right. We love the Lord, so we got to do exactly what we're supposed to do. Soldiers are given issue, no matter what their job is. I myself was a 67 Tango. I worked on Blackhawks. I flew and I took, at one point, special ops guys to go do whatever they do. Whatever they do, yeah. That was my job. But nevertheless, there's some things that we all get. As issue. We all get uniforms. Well, what is our uniform? I would like to believe that we all know that it's the Holy Spirit, that we've all been blessed with this, that we can go out with this uniform. Hasn't the Lord done something beautiful in us? That we all look alike. We're family. We've been bonded with blood of Yeshua. So we take these issues and we use them to the best of our ability, no matter what our job is. The issues that we're going to talk about, the things that we've been given as believers, if you're not a believer, I don't see how this stuff is going to help you. You don't know about it. Really, this conversation that we're going to have is about believers and the issue that we have as soldiers for God. Soldiers for the other side, and yeah, there are some. Refuse to believe in the Lord. We do our best. We pray for them. We talk to them. But they're on the other side, and they got different issues, different gear. Not like us. So I guess you already know what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the armor of God. The issue that he gives us as soldiers. Wow. Aren't we lucky? You got me? If you could put up on the screen 2 Corinthians 10, 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Messiah, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So, like I said, you have to be a believer. You have to be obedient. If you're not obedient, then this issue is really no good for you. It ain't gonna work. You have to surrender. We've heard this today. We've heard about warfare already. People have already come up here. This is not by accident that I'm here. This is what God wants. He wants us to go to war. We went to the mountain and we said to each other, brothers, we're ready for war. We are sick and tired of them assaulting us with their lifestyles. We believe in God. I'm not backing down. I'm giving it to them. They want a war? Fine. I'm ready. Joshua, can you give me 1 Timothy, please? This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some having rejected concerning the faith have suffered shipwreck. There's so many calamities. We look at our friends, we look at our families, and we know what the answer is if we are believers. And they suffer hard, and we pray for them, and we worry and say, Father, please, impart on me the words that are necessary to change their heart. They don't have to go through this. They don't have to go through it at all. Obedience. So, the full warfare, the full armor of God. From time to time in me talking to you, I'm going to keep referring back to Ephesians, where you can find the full armor of God. Ephesians 6. 10 through 20. I'll go ahead and read it. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now in these verses, you hear everything that he's been issued or is given to you freely as believers. He's given it to you, but you got to use it. You got to use it. I mean, the fact is somebody in here knows somebody that's a gangster, street-level gangster. They carry a gun, they have that walk, they have that talk, and they live by their rules. They carry that gun. They wear that vest. They do. They live that life. Well, if they could do that, why can't we? Why am I hearing from time to time, man, they sure getting on me at work. Boy, they saying some things to me. They hurting me. Man, they're just terrible to me. And you're believing it? Where's your armor? Have you forgotten what God has said to you? Are you willing to believe everything that they say over God? He's been around forever. And he's been taking care of us forever. So the first issue, the belt of truth. Truth, its meaning is sincerity in action, character in utterance. Sincere. Hasn't God been sincere with us from the beginning? He said, if you partake of this tree, you're being sincere, you're going to die. Just what's going to happen. Obviously, we didn't take his word. And we're paying the price. And he paid a price, a huge price that none of us could ever pay. Belt of truth. A belt holds things together.
I got a belt on right here.
Keeps my pants up. Today's society, we have people that don't wear belts. I got to look at your underwear. I don't want to look at your underwear. You're not together. Everything is not, it's not tight. You're a bit sloppy. You look awful. You do. And so we take this truth about the Messiah, about God the Father, about the Holy Spirit, and we spread it. We spread it, and we keep it tight, and people look at us and say, boy, something's different about you. Wow, look at his family. Wow, his family's absolutely blessed. Look at the land that they've got. Look at the peace about them. They don't seem to be worried about nothing. Well, why should we? Who's our father? Number one, the greatest thing that ever happened. God gave us truth, and it's for us, believers. And we try to spread that truth to people that don't believe. And they look at us like we're quacks, like something's wrong with us, like something's different about us. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm different. Yeah. I'm making no apologies. I'm a soldier of God with a belt of truth around my waist. You want to know the truth? You ain't living right. You want to know the truth? You could do much better by serving God. Yeah, being a servant versus wanting to be served. In Ephesians, you can find, this is the 14th verse of the 6th chapter. You can read about the truth. But now at this time, I'd like you to, Joshua, if you can, put up Isaiah 11:5. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. I brought this up because with truth comes righteousness and faithfulness. They're all tied together, like a belt does. Ties everything together. It holds everything in place. And so always remember the truth. Use this piece of issue. Use it boldly. If you see wrong, say something. You've already been commissioned. You're already a soldier. What can they do to you? What could God do if you don't say something? Whichever way motivates you, positive or negative, makes no difference to me, but adhere to what his words are. Next, we're going to go into the breastplate of righteousness. Protect your chest, like that vest, with righteousness. And righteousness is, its meaning is acting in accord with divine or moral law, free from guilt or sin. Who on their own is righteous? Not one of us. But he's been so kind to give us his righteousness. You're a soldier, put it on. And in that, nobody can attack you. Not at all. How can they attack you? If you've been doing everything that the Lord asks of you, what are you going to say? Well, you're just too churchy. You're just too preachy. Wow, I want it even worse than that. I want to really get on your nerves. I told the guy, he said, yeah, God, he could see your heart and everything. It's not like you have to really do everything. Yeah, my language is sort of bad, but that's okay. I mean, I'm supposed to chase women, you know, because I am a man. I said, really? He said, it doesn't say that in the word. You confess to be a believer. And he goes to a mega church. And I will not mention the name of the church, Olstein. You know, oh, did I said that out loud?
We can edit that out.
Okay. he said, you know, it'll happen over time. I said, really? I said, for better part of 3 decades, I walked thinking just like you. And then he gave me the truth. And then he gave me his righteousness. And that ain't true, man. And quite honestly, I'm ashamed of you. He don't like me too much anymore. But I gave him the truth. That ain't cool, man. Nah. You're replacing the Almighty God's righteousness for your filth, for your disgusting ways. And then you say, oh, but it's okay. This doesn't say that. It doesn't say it at all. What it says is that you need to confess. What it says is that God is God, and he ain't taking none of your garbage. He gives you chance after chance after chance. How many seconds in a day? It only takes 1 second to confess. That's it. His righteousness. Put it on. Put it on. Breastplate of righteousness. The next piece of issue is your feet. Soldiers' feet in World War II were torn apart. Improper shoes, wet, mud, bad conditions. They'd have to take off their boots, change their socks. Some were getting gangrene. These are terrible things. Of course, technology is caught up. We have better ways of taking care of our feet, especially if we're in warfare and in places that are not so delightful. But God, He has perfect armor, infallible armor. And so every day I wake up and I pray with my wife now, my wonderful wife. And I think that I want to just further what you want, Father, what you desire. And I go with peace. I strap it on. And every step I take, I'm not at war with my brothers and sisters who are lost. I'm not at war with you. I'm at war with the one who gave us these ideas of disobedience. I'm at war with him. And I'll bring it to him because I am a soldier of Yah. I want to tell you a story. When I was up in the Great Lakes on a ship on the Great Republic, I was given the opportunity of sailing with another classmate. My stay at SIU before we got on this ship was nothing short of amazing. And it was prophesied how my life would be at SIU, that I would be elevated just like that. Thank you, Sophia. Thank you, Father. They were going to put me up into a position almost immediately. I came in, I became in charge of the class. A week later, I was in charge of basically everybody. I was number three as far as the students. But my job had it that even my bosses weren't my bosses. I was called Debo, detail bosun. And I was in charge of taking care of all the bad people, make sure that they received the punishment, whatever it be, cleaning up stuff. I mean, it's not so severe. So they sent me out to the Great Lakes with King, Christopher King. And he always had ambitions of everything that I had. He was envious. He hated me. He hated everything about me and told me on quite a few occasions, I can't stand you. He even started to name somebody, Gene, you told me, prophecy, that they would call me preacher. They did. They did. God is amazing, isn't he? Yeah, he let me know ahead of time. And as they put me up, well, the Lord placed me on this pedestal for his glory, not for me, because I don't deserve anything but death. He wanted it so bad. So we go on this ship, and they end up putting us in a room together. Yeah. Yeah. This is wonderful. Great. This guy who can't stand me. And I did everything possible to be his friend. We both were soldiers at one time, but his military career was less than. I got an honorable discharge. He didn't. I had one job in my military career. He had three in 5 years. That's not normal. If anybody's been in the military, you know, that's not normal. You've had issues. So we're on this ship, and this guy would do everything possible to try to hate me, to try to attack me, do everything. I used to talk to Liz. I love Liz. So I used to call her up all the time from the ship. Hey, how you doing, baby? Yeah. Yeah, I'm making this money and having a good time. And he'd be in the room. Well, I'm talking about my job, but he was something different. But he turned up the music really loud, so it would make it difficult for me to talk to her. In the job, he tried to tell people negative things about me. My job was being in charge of people. You don't have any friends being a manager. You know that. I got a job to do. I can't walk hand in hand with you, you know, trying to make you feel bad. Oh, it's okay. No, I got a job. Go do this, go do that. That's the end of it. That's soldiering. So this person, King, I prayed for him constantly with Liz and by myself, and I tried to do everything possible. It came to a head mostly for him, that he was so sick and tired of me, that he went and told the captain. Now, we're peons, we're UAs, unlicensed apprentice, we're little guys. I shouldn't be having a conversation with the captain. But he goes and tells the captain that this guy's doing this and this guy's doing that. And the captain said, look, man, I don't have no time for all this. What's the issue? From what I see, this guy, everybody loves him. As you can already imagine, they didn't like him. Whatever department he was working in, we had to be in all three departments, they didn't particularly like him nor want him around. And they showed him by messing up his money, not giving him any overtime, making life miserable for him, giving him dirty, terrible jobs. My career has not been like that. It's all for God's glory. So the whole time, I really shod my feet with the gospel of peace. I really did. I'm not trying to fight you, man. You're not my enemy. I'm not against you. And I was nervous as we got off the ship because, not that I'm afraid of an interaction, because I'm not. If you know me, that doesn't scare me. That's my daddy. I'm not afraid. But I was nervous because I didn't want him to mess up my career. I didn't want him to want to do something at our very last exchange that could make this job that I have impossible. You know, it's easy to get rid of a UA. I'm not worth anything to them. I haven't made any money for the union, no dues. You know, they could care less about me. But the funniest thing is, when we got off this small little boat, tugboat, I got off the ship, I put my bags down, thinking that he was going to attack me. He ran, but not away from me. He ran to safety, which was his friends who were picking him up in Chicago. And he got to them and he looked back at me. I was thinking, okay, this didn't happen the way I thought it was. All this talk that he'd been wanting to say, the things that he wanted to do and how he was going to beat up on me and stuff, I told him, I said, this ain't that kind of party. I know you see me and I'm peaceful, but don't misunderstand. It never came. And that's for the glory of the Lord. He fought for me. So we have to go with the idea that we're in peace. I'm in peace with everything. Whatever happens, I'm okay with. God has blessed me with his shalom. I'm okay with whatever happens because I know I'm taken care of. Let's move on. Shield of faith. Wow. Had a discussion with one of my brothers. We call him Big D for affectionately. And he's like, what is the shield like? I said, I'm not sure. Really not. Is it this kind of shield? On your arm? No, I'm more of a sci-fi kind of guy. Pastor Ralph and I talked about that. I think of that shield like it lays over top of you. It's like a force field, you know? And I can walk with pride in my Lord, you know? And nothing can hit me. Give it your best shot, you know? Stand like a Muay Thai fighter. That is the style, by the way. You see? The shield of faith. Faith, its meaning, allegiance to a duty or a person. I was faithful to the U.S. Army. I've been faithful to my family. But none of those compare to me being faithful to the Lord. You can't possibly understand unless you're a believer, and you do understand, right? Yeah. Right, okay. The faith that I have in my Lord, everything that I've prayed for, oh, stop. I'll get to that in a minute. Seal the faith. My next ship was Diego Garcia, as you heard. In Diego, I arrived to the ship, I come on the ship, and for the first few days, you're just getting acclimated to the ship, to how the job is, and the people, and what you're supposed to do there. I met a young lady, her name is Angie, and keep her in your thoughts that the Lord is doing a work on her. She comes up to me after, she works the galley. I met a young lady, her name is Angie, and keep her in your thoughts that the Lord is doing a work on her. She comes up to me after, she works the galley, she's in charge of the galley, chief steward. She comes up to me just seeing me around. Never really spoke to her, just, hi, can I get some eggs, whatever, you know, getting my meals. She comes up to me, she says, I don't know, there is something different about you. I said, really? She said, yeah, I don't know what it is. There's something different about you. And I said, without skipping a beat, praise God. She said, you a believer? I said, yeah, I'm a believer, all right. Much more than that. Much more than that. I have a wonderful relationship with the Almighty. I can say that now. I got a great relationship with him. I talk to him all the time. We all right. So she said, oh, I'm a believer too. I said, oh, praise God. Well, maybe we can get together and read the word. And she said, yeah, but this year wasn't the year that we have. So I was say, Ty, I said, can we read the word together? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, we can get down. We can read. I sensed something different. So over the next 2 months of me getting to know her, this person, one day they're a believer, the next day they're cussing me out. And if you know me, there's no reason to do that. I'm passive. I'm not doing anything to you. I leave you alone. You know, times, yes, in the nature. Sometimes I would just want to say good morning. I said, good morning. She said, I ain't got no time to be speaking to you. Yeah, I was like, wow. And I talked to Liz and I talked to Pastor Ralph about it and my father. And wow, this Angie, she just flip-flop. So I decided this. I believe in you, Father. I believe that you could change her. And I never told her my feelings about her. I never addressed one time. And this is God, because I wanted to. I'm a fighter by nature. I wanted to say something. Look at here. But I didn't. The Lord, he calmed me down. I prayed about it to him and said, please change your heart. Do whatever you need to do. Use me in whatever way. And so I ministered to her from time to time. And I always seemed like I was losing ground. But I kept the faith. Whatever amount it was, however you want to measure it, large, small. And on the day before she leaves, she walks up to me. And she says, Jay, I am so sorry for treating you the way that I treated you. You never deserved it. I truly apologize. And she's bawling with tears. I am so sorry. And I even know that you've probably been praying for me. And probably on your knees telling the Lord, please help. And she said, I always thought I was a believer. I always thought I was a believer till I met you. And then I had to reevaluate. Am I a believer? Wow. She touched me. I was like, wow. I said, well, you know, all glory goes to God, and you've already been forgiven. Everything that you've done, I've forgotten about. I ain't got no beef with you. And I hope that you take this. She said, when I go home, I'm going to go back to church. I'm going to stop messing with these guys. I'm going to stop doing this and drinking and all the issues that she had. She confessed right there, and not to me. The Lord really turned her heart. I haven't seen her since, but I've heard that she's doing well. From a friend at SIU, a friend of ours. So that shield of faith, she attacked me. You can't hurt me. My father loves me. And he gave me this issue gear, this force field, that no matter what you do, it don't hurt. I know how God feels about me. I know it firsthand. He's changed my life. Shield of faith. Helmet of salvation is next. Next issue. Got to protect your head. In the greatest martial art, Muay Thai, you protect your head by keeping your shoulder up for your chin. Keep your chin down when you're fighting like this. And keep your hands up to protect yourself. Oh, with the Lord's gear, it's not too much work. Yeah. With the Lord's gear, with his issue, he gives you a helmet of salvation. This is so that you know you can protect your mind from the absurd. From the absurd. When in my first time at SIU, some of the guys were saying that I'm arrogant. I'm just so full of myself and that's just you. I said, that's ridiculous. I said, that's not me. Anybody who talks to me, that's not me. I'm pretty humble. You know, I'm not looking for any glory in any way. What'd you say? So I put this helmet on, and it keeps reminding me that I am saved by his power, that I'm different. We are a peculiar people, aren't we? The meaning of salvation is deliverance from the power and effects of sin. With the Lord's strength and his power, he removed so many things in my life. That's the old man. I'm a new man. I don't walk that same path, nor do I hate sin now. I hate it. It gets on my nerves. It bothers me. It should bother you too. If you're wearing your issue, if you got this helmet on that reminds you that you're saved, reminds you that you've been blessed, that you stand apart, you got to wear it, people. This gear is amazing. Joshua, can you put up 1 Thessalonians 5:8? Wow, you're fast. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. It's not a hope anymore, it's a reality for me. I believe that hope, as we all have it, because we have faith in the Lord, is really for the unbeliever. If you believe, you know that you're saved. You know about yourself. You know exactly where you're going to go right now. If Yeshua is to come back right now, it's just going to be a wonderful party. I'll see you on the other side. He says he's going to make a big table for us. I believe it. Now, here's my favorite part. We've been given all this issue. All this stuff that we've been given by the Lord has been defensive. It stops attacks. It's your vest. It's your helmet. It's your boots. We got all that. But now it's time for the offense. As soldiers, we couldn't wait for that day that we got our rifles. They hand us our, yeah, man. And your rifle. They say, this is your rifle. There are many like it, but this one is mine. Yeah. Do we have any weapons in the armor of God? Yeah. We do? Yeah. Does everybody have one?
Yeah.
Did you put it in your heart? Or did he put it in your heart? and in our mind. Right. The word of God. It's a sword. It's a sword. It's amazing when you're able to talk about the word to people that are unbelievers, and they say, well, you know, this is what I think about God. Really? I want to hear about that. You know, I think, you know, God, he's like this or he's like that. Oh, okay. And that sums up everything about God, your two sentences. He's like this or like that. Okay. Now that we got that together, we can move on, right? No, there's a lot more to God, and he continues to teach us through his word. His word is, for me, is comforting. I've, since becoming a believer, I've become, I guess, a collector of sorts. Praise God, I own 5 Bibles now, and they're all different. Different ways that they wrote it or put it together, different viewpoints. But yet the message is still the same. It's the same message, no matter how you translate it. Old King James, New King James, complete Jewish Bible, interlinear, it's all the same. It's the same word. And we need to take that word and we need to go out there. Yes. We need to show them about the Lord. We need to give it to them. You can have a weapon that's beyond any weapon. Better than that rifle that I want to get. And when we go out to the mountains next time, I'll have it. Yeah, much more powerful. Because it's filled with promises. It's filled with truth. He's never lied to us. Never forsake us. He's given promises after promises. I will do this for you. I will do that. But it starts with us. It starts with us wanting to read it, wanting to find out more about him, putting it deeper in our heart, getting a better understanding, working with our brothers and sisters to understand it more and have a deeper relationship with the Lord. The sword. Can I get you to, Joshua, can you... No, scratch that. I think you know where it's going to go, but never mind. Last piece of armor of God. We have 6 pieces, but there's a 7th. As soldiers, when we did exercises, we had to keep in communication with each other and even keep in communication with the big bosses, be it a colonel or major or whatever your company commander is. We have a direct line to the Lord. In all my days, I have never had the opportunity of talking to the big boss about my daily work. It just don't go like that. There is the big boss of the company, even if it's a small company. But most of the time, you don't talk with them. You don't have nothing to do with you. You know, they see you and say, oh, how's everything going? And they don't really care. You know, if you start pouring out your heart, they say, oh, my. But our Father cares. He cares, and we have to keep in constant communication with him. We have to talk with him. If we don't talk with him, it hurts our armor. How do you keep this armor that he's given you without talking to him? Saying, you know, these people, as the Lord showed me with faith, this woman keeps attacking me over and over. This guy keeps attacking me. Oh, really? I'll show them. I'll take care of it. You know, I mean, I got all this armor on, and they keep on trying to hit it and hurt it. Don't worry about it. It's holding up. They ain't got enough. Well, really, Father? Really? Just keep doing your thing. We got to do that. We got to talk with them. And we can do it with each other, with our families, with our children. It's important. You want to see a change? Pray. I have been absolutely blessed. In the last few years, the Lord has really shined on me. And I asked myself recently, why me? Why not? Why not? We got to talk to him. We got to share what's going on in our lives. We have to be honest. Have to be. You're talking to the number one. If you think a general or even a president's a big deal, how much more is God? You got to talk with him, people. If we could go to Luke 18. Thank you. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. We keep going. We keep praying. If you don't see a change, keep praying. The communication lines are open. Your message is being heard loud and clear. Loud and clear. He hears you. And he will do something about it. You have to be patient. Now let's go to Matthew 26:41, please. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You have to take your time. You gotta pray. You gotta talk to him. If you don't do that, how many believers have we seen slip because they're unwilling to pray? You say, can I pray for you? Oh, well, you know, right now I got something to do. Oh, well, you probably don't want any change. You've gotten comfortable. You know, the first thing we should do is, hey, you know, I got something going on in my life. David, would you please pray for me this week? Yes. Yeah, no problem, Jay. What's going on? Well, I got the word this week. The Lord has blessed me, and I got something to share with the believers. He said, oh, okay, I could do that. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. Other brothers, Big D, prayed for me. I prayed. My wife prayed over me. Yeah, and I'm more than prepared because of it. Because I had an open communication with the Father. I said, look, I really need help on this. I really want to do a good job. I want to bring glory to you. You've done so much in my life. You've done so much in my life. I want to try to give back. I can't. But I'll give it a shot. I'll see what I could do. You got to communicate. If you don't communicate, you get lost. This armor that he's giving you doesn't work. Your sword will be almost meaningless. There's plenty of people that read the Bible, don't have a relationship with God. Okay, you read a book. But this book is a little different. It's interactive. If you really hold on to it, it means something. It does something. It transforms you. It makes you a different being. You're not the same person anymore. You start saying, wow, man, this is not just a book. It's not just a book. It's much, much more. I'm going to wrap it up. So this is how we're going to go about it. First, we talked about warfare. If you, Joshua, if you could put up Deuteronomy 20. When you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them. For the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. So it shall be when you are on the verge of battle that the priest shall approach and speak to the people. And he shall say to them, hear, O Israel, today you're on the verge of battle with your enemies. Do not let your heart faint. Do not be afraid. Do not tremble or be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Are we ready for war? We went to the mountain. Are we ready? It's easy. He's in front of us. The Lord is in front of us. Do you think Obama's going to be in front of you for a war? I don't think so. Mitt Romney? Doubtful. Nah, they stand in the back and you go. Well, that seems sort of cowardice. But hey, I digress. The full armor of God. Can you give me 2 Corinthians? By the word of your truth, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left, you got to be complete. My father told me a story of when he was in the Navy, that I believe he said a Marine. They would get on the ship, they were about to go do something, but the guy forgot his gun. We need it all. We need all the gear, and we need the word. We need to pray. You got to have it all, not just a piece of it. I got my breastplate of righteousness. Well, where's your shield of faith? Oh, well, you know, I'm not really sure about that. Okay. It's sad. But some of us forget it, don't we? At times? Oh, not you. You keep it on all the time? Amen. Can't live without it. We got to keep it at all times, people. We got to keep it on. We got to keep it up. And we got to keep reinforcing it with the word and with prayer. I'll get back to the belt of truth. Can I get Isaiah 59, please? Breastplate of righteousness. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. We're talking about Yeshua. We're talking about Yeshua. Wow. And he's going to lead us to this glorious place. Don't you have a sense of pride in him that our Father is going to lead us into battle and that we're already victorious? We've already won. We've already won, and we celebrate every Shabbat that we've won. Well, live like it. Live like it every day. Gospel of Peace. Isaiah 52:7, which can also be found Romans 10:15. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. The good news. Who proclaims peace. I'm not at war with anybody on this planet. I love. Who brings glad tidings of good things. Who proclaims salvation. Who says to Zion, your God reigns. Get out there, saints. Claim what's ours. We hold ownership to our Lord. We're one with him. We believe in him. Seal the faith. John 5, please. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first, did I get this wrong? Except the first, after the water stirring, was made well of whatever disease he had. No, I got that wrong. Sorry, Joshua. I apologize. I don't know where I was going with that. It's okay. It's my first time. It is. It is a good verse. The whole book is good. Can we edit that one out too? You got me. Coming to salvation, 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of the Messiah. We're being inundated with so many things. Homosexuality is good, right? No? Okay. We got to stand up. We got to keep this helmet on and know why we were saved and what we were saved from. We were saved from our own destruction. Saved for our own destruction. How kind is our Lord? Sword of the Spirit, Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and powerful. I keep repeating that. This thing keeps, it changes you. And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I had an experience with a guy just a couple days ago. I work with seamen, the guys that are not like us most of the time. And he decided to show me his iPhone with pictures of things I don't want to look at. I was like, why'd you do that, man? I don't want to look at that. And so let me show you these texts. Texts ain't so bad. And these texts, what he's talking about, I don't have no parts of. So why'd you do that, man? He said, I'm just saying. What's the big deal? Wow. This guy has two daughters that he talks about. I said, so what you're saying is that you're okay if your daughters were doing this? He said, what? I said, yeah, you're okay with that. It's good, right? They should have a guy that's going to treat them like you treat this woman. Man, I'm just saying, I'm an adult. Okay. Well, I'm just saying, you don't understand. I don't. Really. I'm just saying, you putting on me your judgments. I haven't judged you. I just asked you a simple question. Are you okay with that? Well, man, he said, in a perfect world, he said, I would like my daughters to grow up, to go to school, to find that one young man and get married and only have an experience with their husband. But it ain't a perfect world. That's a matter of perspective. If you believe in the Lord, I'm perfect. And he's making me so. Daily. He's making me perfect. And it's not by my own might. It's not. I wouldn't know how to do it. I tried and failed miserably. And I'm happy to say that. It's through the Lord. Prayer. Luke 11. Wow, you're really, really fast. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who asks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. People, we got to talk to them. I keep telling you, I've gotten everything that I've asked for. Everything. Everything that my heart desires. I desire to bring glory to my Father. I desire to be a most wonderful husband. I desire to be upright. I desire to be a good man, but I can't do it on my own. That's what I desire. What do you desire? And have you asked the Lord for it? Now, I haven't gotten these things on my time. I haven't. And that's okay. He puts you in a posture that you're able to receive it. I wanted to get into this program, SIU program. But first, I had to confess that I was trying to do it on my own. For all the time that I spent trying to do it on my own, I failed. And the moment that I praised God and said, please help me, Father. 9 months of me failing, trying to get into the program, waiting for my credentials and stuff like that. And in 3 months, he did it. He's much better than me. Much better. And so I impart on you that John 15, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Thank you, Father. People, We have to use the armor of God, every bit of it, every day, every moment. I don't want to be complacent. I don't want to get to a point that, you know, I believe in God. I'm just, right now, I just want to relax and it's okay. We got too many of our family, too many of our friends, too many of our coworkers, too many people out there that don't know him. Are you so selfish that you don't want to share this good news with other people? And let them know what they're getting? They're getting eternity with the Master. Eternity. I have no concept of that. Get to praise him for all that he's done. He's taken care of our families. He's fed us. He's put a roof over our heads. He's increased our family. He's increased our land. And all we have to do is just be obedient. And as we heard earlier, yeah, there may be some things going on in your life. Keep focus on the Lord. Keep using this armor daily. Put it on from head to toe. Carry your word, if not in your hand, in your heart. Share it with everybody. I thank you for your time. I absolutely love and adore all of you. And may God bless you.